Good morning, everyone. We're going to go ahead and call the Senate Judiciary Committee to order. Thank you very much for being here. Today is the 21st of April. We have 12 bills that are on our agenda for today. And what I'm going to do is go through those in the sense of kind of giving somewhat of a game plan. At least let me just say a couple of them that are coming off of the docket, so we're not going to be working them. And I'm going to have some comments on both of those. Senate Bill 526 and Senate Bill 557, they are going to be coming off of the docket, the agenda, meaning that they will not be worked through this process, and through the interim, they will be worked. 526, Senator Lori Montes Anderson is the chief sponsor of the bill. She's asked me to ensure everyone that this is an issue that she wants to continue to work. We'll put this into our interim work group. This is dealing with the definition of physical injury, and it came down to the, I guess, with the last revisions, where individuals on both sides of the issue were not comfortable enough to move forward. And so we will put that into work group mode for the interim. 557, similar type of scenario. When we start looking at what the potential could be interpretation from civil law versus criminal law, the Department of Justice had raised some concerns that we felt that were paramount for us to take a little bit more time. I've worked with Senator Gelser on this, and so this will be another one that we will be working during the interim through the Judiciary Committee. Those are the two that I know that we're not going to be moving forward. So if you're here on those two, feel free to leave if you don't have other interest in the others. The others at this point, we have some paperwork we're waiting on, and so we're going to kind of dance around the rest of the bills to see if we can get the paperwork in so we will not have to recess and come back. What we may end up doing is recessing for later this morning, meaning later in our before 10 o'clock coming back. Our goal is not to have to come back this afternoon if we can get all the paperwork in. So I'm going to go ahead and start with who's got 118? Okay, that one I didn't have on my list. So why don't we go ahead and open up a work session on Senate Bill 118?
As Chair Pruszynski, members of the committee, Senate Bill 118 is sponsored by Senator Burdick and Representative Williamson. We had a public hearing just this week on this bill. We have no amendments before us today. The bill is nearly identical to the House version of the body cams bill, so we've been hanging on to it for that purpose. And that bill will, looks like, be ready to move later today, the House version.
Yeah, this was a placeholder bill that we're making certain that the House bill was moving forward. My understanding, it is moving forward. I got nods from the front. So we will be closing the work session on Senate Bill 118, meaning that bill will be not, will be off because it's no longer needed. Now we're going to go ahead and open up a work session on Senate Bill 316.
Chair Pruszynski, members of the committee, Senate Bill 316, we heard this bill back on March 17th. There is a Dash 4 amendment before the committee today that replaces the measure, and the Dash 4 amendment does three things. First, it authorizes pre-employment polygraph examinations for applicants for law enforcement positions. Second, it prohibits post-employment polygraph examinations. And the third thing it does is it exempts the materials associated with these polygraph examinations from public records disclosure. There is no revenue impact, no fiscal impact, and the bill is ready to move.
All right.
The Dash 4 amendment.
This is a bill that I've asked for the Dash 4 amendments. We've had a request, and I'm going to ask for Kevin Campbell to come up, but various chiefs of police, specifically Pete Kearns, who represents the Eugene Police Department, has asked that the legislature address this issue. This issue involves where individuals that are applicants for to become law enforcement currently are not subject to a pre-screening with a lie detector type of test. The issue is that some individuals are getting through the screening process as it is now, and unfortunately are becoming sworn officers, only to have issues that arise after they are employed. That has been determined that if we had this tool in the toolbox, this would give additional information for in the pre-screening of employment to allow for individuals to potentially be kept from coming into profession of law enforcement, being sworn officers, and then having criminal difficulties. So with that, Kevin, if you want to give us a little bit more information.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Kevin Campbell. I'm the executive director of the Oregon Association Chiefs of Police, in favor of Senate Bill 316 with the dash four amendments. As you know, in Oregon, police agencies hire and then put their officers through the 16-week basic training program, followed by a field training program. It's a lengthy process. When they hire, of course, they go through a strict background check, but what they find is that without pre-employment tools like polygraph, they miss some things that end up bringing somebody in the law enforcement profession that could potentially result in an officer that they don't feel like is appropriate to actually be on the force, but they don't find out until later. A majority of states allow or require pre-employment polygraph or a similar type tool. We think that in the environment we're in right now, where there's increasing scrutiny on the work that our law enforcement officers perform, that some of the best things we can do for our police agencies is give them additional tools pre-employment, so we're hiring the right folks. And then we can focus on better training so that the product out on the street is a product that we can continue to be proud of and that the citizens of Oregon continue to have confidence in. And there are some states that prohibit polygraph. I do want to make it clear that on behalf of my association, we don't believe that polygraph is an appropriate post-employment tool. However, it is a very valuable pre-employment tool. And with that, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we support the Dash 4 amendment to Senate Bill 316 and appreciate you bringing it forward.
All right. Well, thank you. And the other thing I do want to put on the record is I've spoken to Representative Barker, the chair on the House Judiciary Committee. He is aware of this bill coming. We will be working with him as to seeing if we can find a path through the building to have it go forward. And that last thing I will say, in the specific experience of Eugene Police Department, I know that there's been at least three instances that have happened in somewhat recent years, one very recent, where if that tool had been in place and they were able to do additional background screening, we would not have had scenarios that would have, let's say, put law enforcement in a very unfortunate, unique situation of where an individual that was under the color of law was, in fact, violating the law.
Yes, ma'am.
Chair?
Yes.
I just am curious as to, because I remember this issue came up several years ago, and for whatever reason it didn't move forward. But what kinds of questions are asked that don't appear on a background check, on a regular background check?
Mr. Chair and Senator Burdick, they have obviously the polygraph's been in place around the nation for decades, and so there are specific questions that don't automatically come out in a background that would represent work history. The incident that Senator Przanski was just mentioning is a very unfortunate case where something that you would not see in the background could come into play in terms of how somebody interacts with a vulnerable citizen. And so without being too, discreet, there are often issues of sexual addiction and other background that could potentially impact the way an officer in the future would interact with vulnerable populations. So I'll leave it at that. But there, I can get you additional information on that because I believe I can actually get you a sample list of some of the questions they might ask if you're interested in that.
Yeah, I think the other part on that, it's not necessarily per se the question, it's the response that it gets is an indicator for additional research to be
correct.
Done. It's not, from my understanding, based on just the response to the question itself. It is a tool that says, here's an area we need to do greater work prior to through the screening process So it's an indicator type of scenario.
Mr. Chair, also there are a way to ask the questions where you can ask a question one way and a similar question another way and cross-reference. So there's a relatively sophisticated tool, actually.
Yeah. All right. Any other questions or discussion?
Senator Cruz. I'll move the Dash 4 amendment into Senate Bill 316.
Senator Cruz moves the Dash 4 amendment into Senate Bill 316. Discussion? Any objection? So ordered.
Chairman, Senate Bill 316 as amended by the Dash 4 amendment to the Senate floor with the due pass recommendation.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 316 as amended by the Dash 4 to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Discussion? Any objections? So ordered. Chair will carry 316 on the floor. We'll close the work session on 316. Open our work session on 341.
As Chair Przanski, members of the committee, Senate Bill 341 comes to us at the request of the Interim Committee on Judiciary. We had a public hearing on this bill just this week. Senate Bill 341 provides that an agritourism provider is not liable for injury to or death of a participant arising out of the inherent risk of agritourism if the agritourism provider posts certain notices but provides exceptions to those requirements. Senate Bill 341 declares an emergency and is effective on passage. We do have before us today the Dash 2 amendments. They have no revenue impact and minimal fiscal impact. The stakeholders in this bill got together, did a lot more work on it, and they've chosen to gut and stuff it and base their changes on a model statute in Virginia. That those amendments narrow the scope of the bill, and the bill is ready to move today.
All right, thank you. And the two's right. Senator Cruz moves the Dash 2 amendment of Senate Bill 341. And let me ask if there's any discussion or any objections. So ordered.
Chair, I move Senate Bill 341 as amended by the Dash 2 amendment to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 341 as amended by the Dash 2 amendments to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Any objections? So ordered. Senator Cruz and I will co-carry, with Senator Cruz being the opener and I'll be the closer on Senate Bill 341. We'll close the work session on 341. We'll open up a work session on Senate Bill 369.
Chair Przanski, members of the committee, Senate Bill 369 you heard on March 24th. The underlying bill is the Uniform Fiduciary Access to Digital Assets Act, or UFADA. After our hearing, we had a work group get together and come up with a set of amendments that tried to balance out the privacy concerns of individuals with the efficient and effective administration of estates or conservatorships or trusts. What we came out with were the Dash 4 amendments and subsequently the Dash 5 amendments. They do generally three things. One, they require a custodian who holds electronic records of another to offer a record of intention to the user at the time that the account is created or within 6 months of the of this act going into effect, and asking them to offer a record of intention that would allow a user to determine what will happen to the records after a period of inactivity, whether that is when they're deceased or they become incapacitated. If they offer a record of intention and it is responded to by the user, that is controlling and will override any other parts of this bill. There's no enforcement mechanism within that portion of the act, which you can find in the Dash 4 Section 8. The offer to create a record of intention must be conspicuous. It cannot be part of the terms of service agreement, but it can be made at the time when a user is creating an account. As I mentioned, if a user indicates what their preference is through that record of intention, that is controlling. If a record of intention is not created, this measure sets up two different avenues for access to records relating to administration of an estate. Section 6 and 7 deal with a catalog. If a custodian has records that are necessary for a fiduciary to have access to, the fiduciary can request a catalog from the custodian. They need to send along the request with the letter of appointment or small estate affidavit, some sort of documentation that they are entitled to this information. Currently, it would include the to, from, date, and time. It would be a list, so to speak, of the communications to, from, date, and time. The Dash 5 includes the subject line. Subject line is not included in the Dash 4 amendments. If the custodian at that point can choose to fulfill the request or not, if they do not fulfill it within 60 days, the fiduciary can apply for a court order to get that catalog. The intention here is for custodians to be able to push back a little bit and say that the type of records that are being requested are not appropriate for the administration of the estate. After the catalog is provided, a fiduciary can request content of communication. The content could be the pictures themselves, they could be the content of emails, the actual substance of a communication, not just a catalog. In order to get a content, they would need to submit a notarized form with proper documentation to the custodian. And if the custodian fulfills the request, then it's done. If the custodian denies the request, it must provide a written explanation for why it is denying the request. At that point, the fiduciary can petition a court for an order to access the digital content. It's ready to go with the Dash 4 and Dash 5 amendments.
All right. So let me tell you, this one is needs a little more work. So we're going to have a motion from Senator Cruz to adopt the Dash 5s and send this down.
Fours and fives.
Fours,
Senator.
And fives?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Fours and fives, and then we're going to have it go to rules so we can have some additional work that needs to be completed.
Terrific.
So, Senator Cruz?
Thank you, Ms. Chair. I move the Dash 4 amendment into Senate Bill 369.
Senator Cruz moves the Dash 4 amendments into Senate Bill 369. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair, just for the record, I do have some concerns. I think that's where the real work needs to be done is in that amendment. So,
okay. Any other discussion on the fours? Any objection to the fours at this point?
Mr. Chair, I share some concerns about the fours, so I'm glad that you're allowing further work on it.
Yep. Okay. So we have some concerns, but no objections. We'll be with that. Any on the vote? I'm just make certain there's no objection on the Dash 4s, just concerns. All right, they're in.
Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 5 amendment into Senate Bill 369.
Senator Cruz now moves the Dash 5 amendments into Senate Bill 369. Discussion? Any objections? So ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 369 as amended by the Dash 4 and Dash 5 amendments to the floor to do pass recommendation and request the subsequent referral to the Committee on Rules.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 369 as amended by the Dash 4s and the Dash 5s with the do pass recommendation to the floor with the request for a subsequent referral to the Committee on Rules. Discussion.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, just to reiterate what I've already said, if this had been going to the floor, I don't think I could have supported the fours, but with your assurance that more work is going to be done, I'm willing to let that happen.
Thank you. Senator Thatcher.
Well, I just want to mention I have concerns, and because of that, I don't want it just coming unanimous out of here. I don't know how all all you are on the bill, but I will be holding back my yes for now. So.
Okay. And any other comments? All right. Based on what I just heard, I believe Senator Thatcher is opposed on a light basis to ensure that people know more work needs to be done when it's in rules, and as we've said on the record, we are anticipating more work at that level. And the way this will be working, yes, it will be in rules, but our committee will still be kind of guiding that discussion and that work. So with that, the motion passes, and it's on its way to rules. We'll close the work session on Senate Bill 369. And now we'll open up a work session on Senate Bill 397.
Chair Brzozinski, members of the committee, Senate Bill 397 comes to us from the Senate Interim Committee on Judiciary. It was first heard on February 18 of this year. We're considering the proposed Dash 2 amendments, and this is the ignition interlock device omnibus bill. It defines the negative report and allows the Department of Transportation to further define test violations by rule. The bill states that when a defendant is participating in DUI diversion, the provider who installed the ignition interlock device must notify the court or the court's designee and the district attorney or city prosecutor of a negative report within 7 business days. The bill states that a negative report notification must be in a format prescribed by the Department of Transportation and provides that a person may not have an ignition interlock device removed unless they demonstrate 90 days without a negative report. The person participating in diversion, however, may petition the court for removal of an ignition interlock device after 6 consecutive months without a negative report. The bill provides that the court or agency may not charge a defendant an additional fee to pay costs incurred by the agency or organization in carrying out their duties, and finally allow the Department of Transportation to remove the ignition interlock device requirement from a person's driving record as soon as practicable after receiving a certificate, memorializing the 90 days clean. There is a minimal fiscal impact, a minimal revenue impact, and we are ready to move with the Dash 2 amendments.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 2 amendment into Senate Bill 397.
Senator Cruz moves the Dash 2 amendments into Senate Bill 397. Discussion? Any objections? So ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 397 as amended by the Dash 2 amendment to the Senate floor with the due pass recommendation.
Senator Cruz now moves Senate Bill 397 as amended by the Dash 2s to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion. Senator Thatcher.
Just to make it clear that the person that can petition the court for the removal of their IID is only the person who's on diversion, and if there is a recidivism, event after that 6 months of clean IID, then I take it they would be convicted at some point, right? Correct? Sorry. Dropped my pen. Right on the stair.
Correct. The person is still participating in the diversion program, and they could still file a show cause petition, and that person could still be revoked out of the diversion program. So that doesn't end the diversion requirement. It just ends the ignition interlock device requirement.
Right. And it doesn't automatically mean they're going to be convicted. There has to be the hearing. The court has to find that they're in violation. The court then has to determine that they're going to impose revocation or eviction or revoking them out of the program, and then there will stand for the conviction. I just want to put that on the record. The court does still have the jurisdiction to allow the person to continue in the diversion program if they find that the violation was, let's say, less significant than maybe another. So.
All right. Thank you. Put that on the record.
All right. Any other discussions? Any objections to the motion that's before us? Not hearing any or seeing any. Motion carries. Senator Thatcher, will you be our carrier on 397?
Sure.
All right.
I like the enthusiasm.
Well, I was, it was just like I thought she was going to be a little bit more enthusiastic. She's holding back. Okay. So we're going to close the work session on Senate Bill 397, open up a work session on 409.
Chair Przanski, members of the committee, Senate Bill 409, you heard on April 7th. This repeals the $500,000 cap on non-economic damages awards and wrongful death actions. You have a variety of amendments before you, some of which raise the cap to $1 million, $2 million, or $1.5 million, and it is ready to move out of committee today, should you choose to do so.
All right. So at this point, the 1.5 was the dash 3?
The dash 3 is correct.
Right. The chair would like to have a motion on the dash 3s. This bill is going to be going to rules for additional work. So if people are comfortable with putting the dash 3s in, we'll do that. If not, we'll set it down to rules without the without the amendments. But it seems to me at least it will give some guidance as to where we're at. We can do it without recommendation with the dash 3s, if that makes people more comfortable.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
Could we have a brief recess?
We will recess on 409 for now, and we're going to continue with our other ones, and we'll come back to that one.
Thank you.
So what we're going to do is open up a work session on Senate Bill 525.
Chair Brzezinski, members of the committee, Senate Bill 525 comes to us from Senator Montes Anderson and was first heard on March 25th of this year. The bill prohibits the possession of a firearm or ammunition if a person is the subject of a restraining order continued after an opportunity for a hearing or if the person has been convicted of a qualifying misdemeanor involving domestic violence. It states that the prohibition does not apply if the offense is expunged and allows for relief from prohibition upon a court petition. We are considering the proposed Dash 2 amendments, which do not allow transportation, shipment, receipt, possession, or importation of any firearm or ammunition imported for, sold, or shipped to, or issued for the use of the United States government or any federal department or agency, or any state or department, agency, or political subdivision of a state, if a person is convicted of a qualifying misdemeanor involving domestic violence. There is a minimal fiscal impact and no revenue impact, and the bill is ready to move with the Dash 2 amendments.
All right. This is going to be another bill that will be heading to rules, but I would like to adopt the Dash 2 amendments into the bill on its journey to rules.
Adopted without recommendation?
That's fine.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I'll move the Dash 2 amendments into Senate Bill 525.
Senator Cruz moves the Dash 2 amendments into Senate Bill 525. Any discussion? Any objections? So ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 525 as amended by the Dash 2 amendment to the floor without recommendation and request a subsequent referral to the Committee on Rules.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 525 as amended by the Dash 2s to the floor without recommendation with a request for a subsequent referral to the Committee on Rules. Discussion. Senator Thatcher.
Mr. Chair, I know it's without recommendation, but also just to kind of serve that there's a little signal that this needs a lot more work. So.
All right, I appreciate that. Any other discussion? Any objections besides Senator Thatcher?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I just to back up.
Okay.
Mr. Chair. I would, since we don't have a unanimous vote, I would prefer a motion with a positive recommendation to rules.
Okay. So then I guess what we need to do is ask whether or not, Senator Cruz, are you willing to amend the recommendation or withdraw the recommendation? If not, we can vote on it, and then we can
Mr. Chair,
it up again.
I withdraw. My concern.
Okay. So we have a motion before us. That motion is to Senate Bill 525 with the Dash 2 amendments to go to the floor without recommendation with the request that the bill be subsequently referred to the Committee on Rules. We have two objections at this point, Senator Thatcher and Senator Cruz. Is there any other objections to the motion? Not seeing any. It does pass, and the bill is on its way. Rules. Close the work session on 525, and we're going to go to Senate Bill 639.
Chair Brzezinski, members of the committee, Senate Bill 639 comes to this committee from Senators Shields, Canope, Representative Williamson, and Huffman. This is the bill regarding license plate recording devices. The underlying bill restricts the use of motor vehicle registration plate surveillance cameras, limits the use of data collected by those cameras. It requires public bodies to establish policies and produce annual reports detailing the use of collected data, and establishes rules on the admissibility of the data in court proceedings. There are several amendments before the committee today. The proposed Dash 1 amendment would modify the time for which captured data could be retained to a year, but limit the extensions to a 30-day cap. The proposed Dash 2 amendment would limit the retention data to 60 days and authorize extensions by up to 60 days. The Dash 4 amendment would authorize data retention for up to a year and authorize extensions for up to a year. The Dash 7 amendment authorizes law enforcement to use ALPRs to identify vehicles a suspect may be using rather than those merely registered to the suspect. It permits law enforcement to use the ALPR to gather evidence in a criminal investigation. It permits law enforcement to capture the ALPR data with other databases It eliminates the mandatory destruction of data after trial. It requires the law enforcement to develop policies regarding contracts with third-party vendors. It eliminates restrictions prohibiting law enforcement from sharing data with other law enforcement bodies. It eliminates the derivative evidence piece from the suppression provision. It eliminates the prohibition of the use of AOPR data in arbitration and civil proceedings. We do have our paperwork on the Dash 4 amendments. There's no revenue and a minimal fiscal impact.
All right, so we have the paperwork for the Dash 4s. What I am going to propose here is that we adopt the Dash 4s. This is another bill that's going to rules for additional work. If we could have a motion on the Dash 4s.
Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 4 amendment into Senate Bill 639.
Senator Cruz moves the Dash 4 amendments into Senate Bill 639. Discussion? Any objections? So ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 639 as amended by the Dash 4 amendment to the floor with a due pass recommendation and request a subsequent referral to the Committee on Rules.
Senator Cruz now moves the Senate Bill 639 as amended by the Dash 4s to the floor with the due pass recommendation, but with a request for a subsequent referral to the Committee on Rules. Discussion? Any objections? So ordered. And we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 639, and we'll open up a work session on Senate Bill 822.
Chair Brzezinski, members of the committee, Senate Bill 822 comes to this committee from Senators Cruz, Gelser, and Boquist, and Representatives Williamson and Krieger. This is the grand jury recording bill. The bill requires the presiding judge of each judicial district to ensure that all grand jury proceedings are recorded verbatim. The proposed Dash 1 amendment limits the requirement of recordation to offenses that, at the time of the grand jury proceeding, the prosecutor reasonably believes is a crime related to aggravated murder or a Measure 11 offense. It requires the district attorney or the defense attorney to make a showing of particularized need before obtaining the recording, and it prohibits the disclosure of the recordation if there is an ongoing criminal investigation into the defendant or a potential co-defendant. It authorizes the Chief Justice of the Oregon Supreme Court to enact rules. In addition, it prohibits the recording from being used as evidence to challenge the sufficiency of the indictment. The proposed Dash 2 amendment before the committee also eliminates collateral attacks on the indictment by using the recordation materials. It also authorizes the Chief Justice to determine the types of audio recording devices suitable for use, and it clarifies the role of the court and the judiciary in the recordation process. I don't have yet the fiscal light paperwork that we would need on the Dash 2, but it's in progress.
All right, so we're missing the light on the revenue?
From
fiscal.
Fiscal. And I've been in contact with LFO while the hearings.
All right, so at this point, we could either move to suspend the rules or we could wait to see if it comes in. Do we have any indication of when it might be on its way?
I haven't. Oh, wait, there.
Dun, 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 dun.
I just released it. Check again.
We're all in suspense, man.
Well, LFO has represented to me that they just released it on the Dash 2s.
It's coming. We want to recess for a moment?
Yeah, if we could recess.
All right, we'll recess on 822, and we're going to go ahead and open up a work session on Senate Bill 871.
Chair Brzezinski, members of the committee, Senate Bill 871 comes to us from Senator Shields and was first heard on March 19th of this year. This is the police use of deadly force bill. We're considering the proposed Dash 1 amendments, which require grand jury recording by a stenographer in all cases where a police shooting is the cause in fact of the death of a person. The amendments state that the investigation into the use of deadly force by one of the agency's police officers must be led by a person who is not employed by the agency and create a process for the court's releasing of a transcript of that grand jury recordation. This one does have a fiscal impact and no revenue impact, but would require a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
All right. And what's the amendment number?
It is the dash one amendments.
Thank you. Senator Cruz?
Chair, I move the dash one amendment into Senate Bill 871.
Senator Cruz moves the dash one amendment into Senate Bill 871. Discussion? Any objections? So ordered.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill 871 as amended by the dash one amendment to the floor to do pass recommendation and request a subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 871 as amended by the dash ones to the floor with a due pass recommendation, but with a request for a subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means. Discussion? Any objections? So ordered. It's on its way to Ways and Means, and we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 871. We'll open up a work session on Senate Bill 908.
Chair Przanski, members of the committee, Senate Bill 908 is a committee bill. There is a dash one amendment before the committee, and what the dash one amendment does is modify Oregon's expungement statute. It does a few things. First of all, it kind of eliminates some of the repetitive language in the existing expungement statute. It clarifies that all drug possession, simple possession, that are class one possession offenses are eligible for expungement. It also clarifies that a single non-traffic violation offense in the last 10 years does not disqualify an offender from seeking an expungement. It eliminates from expungement the assault three offense if the victim is under the age of 10. And it also clarifies that an offender who violates their probation, if that person seeks an expungement, there's a 10-year waiting period. There is no revenue and no fiscal impact on the bill, and it is ready to move with the dash one amendment.
All right, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, the dash one amendment into Senate Bill 908.
Senator Cruz moves the dash one amendment into Senate Bill 908. Discussion? Any objections? So ordered.
Mr. Chairman, Senate Bill 908 as amended by the dash one amendment to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 908 as amended by the dash ones to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Thatcher.
I have some reservations and have some questions that I would like answered before the floor, so I'll be a no for now.
Okay. Senator Thatcher's a no on the motion. Anyone else? Not seeing any. So ordered. Chair will carry 908 to the floor. We'll close the work session on Senate Bill 908. I do want to state on that bill, I really appreciate all of the hard work by the Oregon District Attorneys Association, Oregon Criminal Defense Lawyers Association over the, I'm going to say, last 3 to 4 years of bringing this product together. And so thank you very much. I know it was not as easy as we may have thought it would be in the earlier time frame, but it's here, and I do believe it will, in fact, help clarify some of the areas that we've been wanting to work on for, like I said, the last 3 to 4 years. So thank y'all for that. So that leaves us with two bills that we are recessed on, and that is Senate Bill 409 as well as 822. So 822, I think what we're going to do is we're going to stand down. What I'm going to say is it's 920 at this point. You think 10 minutes, 15?
Yeah.
10, okay, let's go ahead and just say, just to be safe, we'll say 9:35. So we'll reconvene in 15 minutes to hopefully take action on the last two bills. So with that, the committee is in recess. All right, the Senate Judiciary Committee is coming back to session order, our recess. We had two bills that we needed to deal with, Senate Bill 409. So I'm going to go ahead and reopen the work session on Senate Bill 409. And
you had a motion to adopt an amendment. It was recessed at that point. This is your non-economic damages cap.
Yeah, and this is the dash three, if I'm not mistaken.
Dash three is the $1.5 million.
All right, and that was, I think, a motion that was open when we took the recess. So just to reflect, there is a motion on the floor to adopt the dash three amendment into Senate Bill 409.
I will object to the amendment. I will oppose the amendment.
Okay.
So would I.
All right. So we have opposition from two on the amendment for the dash three amendment. Any other objections? Not seeing any. So ordered. They are now part of the bill. And the chair would like a motion for Senate Bill 409 to rules. As amended by the dash three.
I can make the amendment.
You make the motion?
Yeah. Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 409 as amended by the dash three amendments to the floor. I'm assuming you want a recommendation.
That'd be great.
With a do pass recommendation and request that the bill be subsequently referred to the Committee on Rules.
Senator Cruz is gracious enough to make a motion to send Senate Bill 409 as amended by the dash threes to the floor with a due pass recommendation, but request a subsequent referral of the bill to the Committee on Rules. Discussions?
Mr. Chair, I will be opposed to the motion.
So will I.
All right. Any other objections besides the two, Senator Thatcher and Senator Cruz? Not seeing any, so ordered. And the bill is on its way to rules. We'll close the work session on Senate Bill 409, and we'll open up a work session on Senate Bill, reopen the work session on Senate Bill 822.
And Chair Brzezinski, we do have the fiscal paperwork back with the dash two amendments. We have a fiscal light on the dash two and no revenue impact on the dash two, and so it will need a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
All right.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I somewhat reluctantly, but I will move the dash two amendment into Senate Bill 822.
Senator Cruz moves the dash two amendment into Senate Bill 822, and I was watching the dagger of eyes coming in your direction that's hitting me at the same time. Any discussion on the motion? Senator Thatcher.
I understand what we're trying to do. We're trying to come to a compromise and figure that out. But I do have some real concerns about the victim part. I don't feel like there's enough protection for them in the dash twos as it stands.
Okay. All right. Any objections to the dash two amendments?
I would object.
All right. Senator Thatcher objects to the dash two amendments. Any other objections? Not seeing any. So ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 822 as amended by the dash twos to the floor with a due pass recommendation and request a subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 822 as amended by the dash twos to the floor with a due pass recommendation but request a subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means. Discussion. Senator Gelser.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will be supporting this motion, but also wanted to put on the record that there are ongoing discussions with district attorneys, including my two district attorneys who I've directed to talk directly with Representative Williamson, particularly around cost and funding and the scope of the recordings. And I think it's important that those conversations continue, and it's my understanding that that is part of what will happen in Ways and Means.
It definitely will happen.
Yes.
Senator Cruz first, and then Senator Thatcher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As one of the chief sponsors of this bill, I do feel a certain amount of responsibility here, but it's what happens when you put a simple country boy into some of these complicated issues. The dash ones were mine. I think there's a lot of provisions in the dash ones that I think have merit and need to move forward into whatever final product we have. I don't think, personally, that either the ones, twos, or the original bill is exactly what we want. And so I am hoping that we will continue to work. And I have had an assurance from Representative Williamson that that indeed will happen. The underlying premise of this whole thing of a true recording, I'm fully supportive of. It's the details that we need to make sure are addressed. And for Senator Gelser's concern about protecting people, that was in the one. So that's a provision I would like to see move forward as well. I'm also relatively uncomfortable with the new role that we're putting on the bench in this whole process, but hopefully we will be able to resolve these issues as the work continues.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Gilson.
If I may, one more comment. I think it's also important to note where we are in the calendar. Time is short. So for those that are concerned and interested, I think timely communication with Representative Williamson and Senator Cruz and others is really important. And it's harder to come up with solutions right at the end. So I would urge people to get engaged now and not the week of the work session in Ways and Means.
Thatcher.
Thank you. I agree with everything that's been said, but if we're still talking about changing policy and tweaking policy and making it just right, I'm questioning the move to Ways and Means. Did I misunderstand it's going to Ways and Means?
It's going to Ways and Means because there's the fiscal, and we have 871 that's on its way down there as well. I'm expecting that Ways and Means are going to look at both of those as to whether they need to stand independently or somehow consolidate 871, which is the one that would require a stenographer on specific cases that went before the grand jury. And there may be some blending of those in to accommodate what the fiscal could be. The understanding that I have from the president's office is that any type of movement as to policy issues that are addressed at Ways and Means will in fact require the chair of this committee to be engaged in that discussion. And I do believe also, if I'm not mistaken, I'm not sure if the House has adopted a similar thing, but they may also be engaged in this as well. We're trying to accommodate some of the inevitable that occurs, but at the same time address some of the concerns most of us have had, where you do see something go to Ways and Means and it pops out something completely different, significant policy changes. And that's the way I understand we're trying to work through this session to see if this is a hybrid that works.
And Mr. Chair, just to follow up on that, I mean, historically, there's always angst when Ways and Means starts doing policy. I understand that. But also historically, we have done policy measures in Ways and Means with concurrence of the Committee of Origin and the sponsors of the legislation. So as long as that's the track we're still on, I think we'll be okay with this.
And that's mine too. And I think on this is one of those scenarios, because we know cost is going to be a driver, knowing that there is a goal by many in the building to have some type of action on this subject matter, this area, this session, that is important. I put them down together and let that kind of materialize. As I've stated on the record before, anything that we're sending to a different committee that's not going to the floor, we will still be engaged in, because that's the only way I think that wherever those decisions are going to be made, in this case in Ways and Means, that they need to be fully informed and appraised of what apprised of what we've basically are thinking as a committee and the intent that we had. And so I do expect Senator Cruz and myself to be engaged with Representative Williamson and others in the sense of various interest groups that also have interest.
So to clarify, when you say we will be fully engaged, it'll be members of the committee individually engaged outside of this committee process, though?
That's correct. That's correct. Yeah, I mean, we won't have the jurisdiction of the bill with us. Now, one of the things that could possibly happen is once we start getting to the point of whatever the anticipated solution or end product is, maybe have some discussion, and I'm not sure how that would work as to maybe just informational.
Actually, Mr. Chair, one committee is allowed, there is a process for borrowing a bill from another committee to hear it. That has been done before. So we could bring the whole product back up here on loan to if we felt that the need.
Yeah. Well, let's see. I don't want to commit to something that
I've been
the
here too
president's
damn long.
I mean, right now the president's office could be going through the ceiling. So if you see these doors fly open, we may be wanting to take another recess. All right. Any other comments? So at this point, we have a motion regarding 822 with the dash twos, with the due pass recommendation going to the floor with a subsequent referral request to Ways and Means. So I'm going, we've had the discussion, I'm asking for objections to the motion. Senator Thatcher? All right, with that, it does carry, and Senate Bill 822 is on its way as amended to the Ways and Means Committee. All right, now, councils, I believe, based on my work, we've got everything done. Everyone that's here, this is kind of interesting. There's a set of bills that are below what we just worked that have public hearing and possible work sessions. I will tell you that I had an email yesterday on two of the bills telling us that an interest group was not interested in them moving forward. I will tell you that all of these bills were what we call placeholders. There was no intention to move the contents of any of those bills. They were only there because of the relating clause if we found that we needed to address something that came to our attention late in the game. Fortunately for us, and I will want to compliment all of our staff and judiciary for all of the hard work they've done in getting us to this point where we've got all of our work done that we needed to do for bills that originated in our chambers, and for the committee for all the hard work you've done. And I know we've been really demanding and requiring some people to be here, let's say, earlier than that their bodies want to function. But I appreciate that. We are now going to be adjourning, and we're going to not have committee tomorrow or Thursday. So the rest of the week, Judiciary, Senate Judiciary will not be meeting. Monday, we are going to, during that time, I'll be meeting with staff to start coordinating what we'll be doing next week on the House bills. And we will definitely have a delayed start on Monday if we have committee on Monday at all. We'll, won't know at this point.
Mr. Chair, just one thing. What I'm disappointed in is the fact that we are not doing Senate Bill 349 because it's a one-line bill and it would have been easy to carry on the floor. But other than that.
Well, there's always an opportunity that it could be a gut and stuff. All right. Anything else for the good of the order? Thank you all very, very much. We'll be adjourned. And like I said, we'll schedule our next meeting for next Monday. Maybe.